Second, it is so weird to be talking with this thing on. I just want to acknowledge the fact of how weird this is. But hey, we're going to make the best of it. We're going to worship the Lord and not let a little small inconvenience like this get in the way of it. So thank y'all for being here. It's a good day to be in God's house. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to preach the word. I'm excited to see every one of you. So before we get started with worship, let's start the service in prayer. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, we just lift up everybody that's not able to be here with us today. And God, we pray that you'd anoint this service. We pray that you'd anoint each and every one of us to worship you in freedom, free from distraction. Just help us to pour out our whole hearts to you, God, because you are worthy of so much more than we could ever give, God. So help us to worship you like you deserve, God. Help us to hear from your word, God. Help me to preach the word truthfully, faithfully. God, close my mouth if I start to say something that's not from you, Lord. I just pray that your word would speak to our hearts today. God, that you would make it clear to us who you are. Make it clear to us who we are in you. Teach us something from your word. Strengthen us, encourage us, and send us out of here closer to you and ready to impact the world that we live in for you. Lord, we want to go out and be that city on a hill, Lord. We want to be that shining light into the darkness. And it's not anything about us. It's all about you. So, God, I pray that you'd inhabit the praises of your people. I pray, God, that you would just bless everything that's said and done this morning. We love you, Lord. If you agree with that prayer, say amen. Amen. All right, Brother Robert.
All right. Come on. We're going to leave the mask on while we do all this, too. Is that what you're going to do?
No, I'm going to take it off when I preach.
When you're preaching? Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll try it with it on, and we'll see. Yeah, see
it? You can take it off. It's okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, we're going to start out just like the pastor just said. We come here today, we come to worship and praise our Lord. He's worthy of all our praise and our honor and glory. But we need our eyes open. I need mine open. You need yours open. If we might hear from the Lord this day what our pastor is going to bring to us. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I'll stand. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Next, we're going to sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Thank the Lord, He's ours, folks. Seated for a little while. We're going to do a song now that written by Bill and Gloria Gaither, and I found it yesterday, but Keegan was unable to find it, so you won't have the words. You may know it, Gentle Shepherd. Y'all remember that song? Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us. Okay, sing with me if you will. We don't have the words, but one more time, okay? Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come.
Thank you.
song I'm going to do is entitled Psalms 23. That's what our pastor's preaching from today. And I Googled it yesterday, and I come up with several different songs and found one that I didn't know, but I learned. And this is Psalms 23.
Listen, my heart is there's a lot of things that we don't know about the coronavirus. But a year from now, 2 years from now, if we all look back on this and say it was some big, it was made out to be more than it really was, then I'd rather say, well, at least we wore the mask and we were careful and we were safe, and it turned out to not be. But if we did the opposite and we took it lightly, and then it ended up being as bad as they, as some people make it out to be, then we would regret not having warned them. So I just want to make sure everybody understands that this is not, I don't want this to divide us at all. This is just an effort to be safe. So love you guys. Just want to say that before we get started. All right. Psalm 23. Last week we were in Psalm 101, a psalm written by David. Psalm 23 is another psalm that is written by David. The date that it was written, the circumstances of David's life are really unclear. I tend to agree with those that believe that this was written later in his life. Mainly because of the strength of David's faith that you can see in the text. The words just feel lived in. It feels like something that he would write after he had experienced a lot of things. These words testify that God has been there during the good times and the bad times for David. These words testify that although evil exists in the world, and as a result, pain and loss also exist in the world, even still, there's hope available that's going to remain long after evil has been defeated. Amen? That's what these words tell us. Now, excuse me. David uses the picture of a shepherd to describe the Lord. And this is something David's very familiar with. He knew exactly what the life of a shepherd was like because he had been one earlier in his life. He had taken care of sheep. Right, he had led them from place to place. He had tracked them down when they would run off and get lost. He had bound up their wounds. He had fed them and cared for them. He fought off the wolves that came to destroy them. David knew what this life was like. He remembered how he had taken care of those sheep. And when he thought about how God takes care of him and how God takes care of us, the imagery just fit. It related. But it was sort of a role reversal, because now David, who used to be the shepherd, now David is the wandering sheep that needs a shepherd. David knew it was God that provides for him and guides him and protects him. Now, being a shepherd in biblical times, this was not a prestigious position. This was not a glamorous job to have. In fact, this was considered the lowest of all the jobs. It almost always got assigned to the youngest member of the family because it was the least desirable job. And yet, over and over in Scripture, God is referred to as our shepherd. God Almighty takes on this least desired of all jobs, and He does it gladly. Why would He do that? Why would He condescend to be something that was considered so beneath most people, much less Almighty God? Why would He do that? Because He loves the sheep. That's right. God's the shepherd, so that makes you and me and all of humanity, we're the sheep. God loves the sheep, and so He's glad to be our shepherd. Jesus Himself used this imagery of a shepherd and his sheep in John chapter 10. So I want us to look at that together as we get started this morning. We're going to start with verse 14. John chapter 10, verse 14. It says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So Jesus knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. He speaks, and his sheep listen to his voice. He lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus did that on the cross of Calvary. He willingly laid down his precious, sinless life so that the sheep, and that's any who would believe, so that the sheep could have eternal life. If you're thankful that Jesus is your shepherd, let me hear somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The words of Psalm 23 have been used to comfort many, many people throughout the years that were grieving the loss of a loved one. I've read this psalm at a graveside service several times. This psalm has been used to encourage those that were walking through the most difficult times in their lives, feeling like they might not ever make it out of that dark valley of the shadow of death. These words have brought so much hope to so many over the years. And my hope for us this morning is that this will encourage us as well as we spend time in Psalm 23. The world's full of wolves that are waiting to attack the sheep. And the words of this psalm tell us we can take comfort in the knowledge that the Lord is our shepherd. Let's pray together now before we read from God's Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful to be here. We're thankful for the truth and the power of your Word. We pray that your Word will speak to our hearts and our minds, that you'll be glorified today. Be with us now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to read Psalm 23 together. So y'all read it out good, loud, and strong. After we read it, I want us to see the three roles of the shepherd in our lives and then two blessings that we have as a result. But first, we're going to read Psalm 23 together. All right, y'all read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. All right, so let's talk about the three roles of the shepherd. First, the shepherd is our provider. The shepherd is our provider. David says it very clearly in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, he's not lacking anything that he needs. He doesn't have to want for anything because his shepherd provides for him. We began a conversation on contentment this past Wednesday night in Bible study. We talked about how there's a difference between our wants and our needs. We can have lots of things that we would like to have, but there are certain things that we need, like we've got to have to survive, right? So, food, water, oxygen, shelter, sleep, those things immediately come to mind. Those aren't wants, those are needs. We've got to have those. And there's several others, right? Wants are things that we would like to have, but we don't need them in order to live. We could all make a list of wants. And if all we do is focus on our wants, if all we do is focus on the things that we don't have, we're going to be pretty miserable. But when we focus on what we do have, we see that we all have so much to be thankful for. And that appreciation for what the shepherd provides for us, that develops joy in our hearts. David wrote in verse 5 that his cup overflows. That means he didn't have almost enough. No, his cup overflowed with abundance from God. Because God is in control, because he is the good shepherd, we have what we need. He's our provider. All right, so the shepherd's not only our provider, he's also our guide. The shepherd is our guide. Verse 3 says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd is our guide. Now, sheep are not the brightest creatures in the animal kingdom. As a matter of fact, they're really pretty dumb. They can't navigate their way in and out of trouble on their own, right? They need the shepherd to guide them. That's a great comfort to the sheep. The sheep takes comfort in the shepherd because it keeps them safe, right? The sheep doesn't have to figure out where the green pastures are because the shepherd leads the sheep there. The sheep doesn't have to find those still waters on its own because the sheep leads them there. Jesus is our shepherd, and he will lead us if we'll follow. The problem is, human beings, we think we already know the way, so we don't need a guide. That's what we think. We don't think we need a guide. Listen to this verse from Proverbs. This one won't be on the screen. I'm just going to read it for us. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. It seems right. It makes perfect sense to us. It seems like it's the right way, and yet it leads us to death. But the shepherd will lead us into paths of righteousness if we'll just humble ourselves and follow his way instead of our own. So how does he lead us? He leads us in a couple of different ways. First of all, he leads us through his word. He leads us through the Bible, right? The Bible's not just an old book that was written a long time ago. The words of the Bible are inspired by God. The Bible is the written revelation of God to mankind. This is who God is. He speaks to us through his revealed word. This book speaks to every issue that we'll face in life. It gives us direction. The direction that we need to navigate through this life is right here in God's word. We also find direction from God when he gives us his wisdom. He gives us his wisdom. Now, wisdom and knowledge are a little bit different, right? Knowledge is information, whereas wisdom is knowing when and how to use that information. That's right. Now, it's true that wisdom comes with age and experience, but the Bible tells us that God will give us wisdom if we ask him. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. We all need the wisdom that comes from God, and it's available to all of us if we'll just ask him. Another way that the shepherd guides us is through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of each believer. Right? God guides us through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives us discernment and it gives us conviction. Now, discernment is the ability to decide between right and wrong, good and bad, truth and error. So, when we're in different situations, discernment warns us that we might be heading into a situation that could be bad for us. It's a warning. That's what discernment is. It's a warning that we're in a spiritually dangerous situation. We need to watch out. Now, conviction is the understanding that we're guilty of sin in our lives. The Holy Spirit does this work of conviction so that we'll confess and repent and we'll be restored to fellowship with God. so that we don't stay in our sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us so we can confess it and repent of it and be brought back into good fellowship with God. Discernment can keep us from entering into sin, and conviction seeks to draw us out of sin back to God. Does that make sense? I know that's a lot of information, right? But the main thing I want us to take away from this point in the sermon is that God wants to guide us. And He will guide us if we'll follow Him. Just like the sheep needs the shepherd to guide it, you and I need the shepherd's guidance as well. Okay, the shepherd is our provider. The shepherd is our guide, but the shepherd is also our protector. The shepherd is our protector. Verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, it's interesting that right after we're told that the shepherd is going to lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, the next thing we read is that we're also going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why don't those paths of righteousness keep us away from the valley of the shadow of death? I'll give us a couple of reasons. I'm sure there's a lot more. But for one, we live in a world that is cursed by sin. Right? So difficult situations are just unavoidable. We're going to find ourselves in that dark valley from time to time. Another reason we find ourselves in those dark valleys is as we're being led by the shepherd into paths of righteousness, those dark valleys that we encounter, they strengthen our faith. See, God uses everything, the good and the bad, to draw us closer to Him, to teach us more about Him, and to mold us into the men and women that He created us to be. God uses those dark valleys to teach us. But isn't it good to know that the shepherd doesn't just walk with us to the dark valley and then say, "All right, you're on your own." He walks the dark valley with us. He's with us. He's there. He doesn't make us take that dark journey on our own. He's with us. David writes, "He'll fear no evil." Why? Because the shepherd's with him. He doesn't have to fear evil because the shepherd is with him. David writes that the shepherd's rod and staff comfort him. Now, a shepherd's staff, you know, the next day that I'm a shepherd will be my first, so I'm going to try to explain this the best I know. But it had a crook on the end of it. And so it was just a long staff with a crook on the end of it. And the shepherd would use that crook to pull the sheep that was wandering off back into the safety of the flock. And then the shepherd would use the straight part of the staff to fight off the enemies that would attack and try to hurt the sheep. So he would beat down the tall grass to run off the snakes that might be lying in there. Right? He would poke and hit at wolves or anything that came to attack the sheep. That's what he used to defend the flock. Now, you and I don't have to worry about literal snakes and wolves attacking us, right? But we do have enemies that would love to hurt us. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." See, there's a spiritual battle between good and evil, and it, whether we realize it or not, it impacts the world that we live in every day in a powerful way. It's so important for us to realize that and to keep in mind that we're not in that battle alone. We're not in that spiritual battle alone. We have a shepherd. I was thinking about protection and how we get into situations that scare us to death and how, you know, we desperately feel we need protection in those situations. And an old memory came back to me. When I was about 10, about Miranda's age, my family took a trip to the Smoky Mountains. And one evening, we're walking up the strip in Gatlinburg. And I'm pretty sure this place isn't there anymore, but there was this haunted house. And it looked really cool to me. I always liked scary movies and haunted houses. So we're walking past this place, and I was like, hey, I want to go in here. One of y'all take me in here. Mom and Dad shut that down pretty quick. I think we were on our way to somewhere else. So I'm like, no, we're not going in there. And we kept on walking, but I would not let it go. I just kept on, I want to go to the haunted house. I want to go to the haunted house. Well, Mama and Papa were with us, so Papa said, hey, you know what? I'll take him to the haunted house. So we walk back, we get in line. It was really crowded. And we're standing in line, and every time they'd open the door and let somebody in, you'd hear on the inside, and you'd hear creepy sounds and screams, and you'd see smoke coming out, and you'd see flashing lights. And so I started having reservations in this line. I started thinking, this wasn't such a good idea. And so we're walking through the line, and we get closer and closer, and I'm like, hey, Papa, don't we need to go do this? He's like, no, boy, we're standing in this line. We're going in this haunted house. And we got closer and closer, and I'm begging. By the time we get to the door, I'm like, Papa, I will give you money. I do not want to go in this haunted house. He's like, nope, you said you wanted to. We came all the way back here. We stood in this line. We're going. So they open the door. We step inside. They shut the door behind us, and I literally latched onto his leg and closed my eyes and started praying. And so he had to drag me through this haunted house just with a death grip on his leg. He's laughing hysterically. I'm screaming hysterically. And when I think about that moment, if I close my eyes, I can still hear my pawpaw's laugh. I mean, he was having a great time. I was scared. Like, I thought, this is the end. This is how I'm going to die. In this Gatlinburg haunted house. I'm dead. Now, that's just sort of a silly picture of what it's like when we face real life situations with real danger. Right? I wasn't in any danger in that haunted house. I thought I was. I wasn't in the least bit of danger. Right? But just like I had Pawpaw's leg to hold on to. Right? We have the shepherd who's always with us. He's always watching out for us, always protecting us. And I think he probably laughs sometimes when we freak out over things, just like I was losing my mind in this haunted house and Mama was laughing. I think God laughs sometimes. Like, hadn't I protected you before? Hadn't I always taken care of you? Why are you losing your mind right now? I was on the throne then. I'm still on the throne now. See, the shepherd is our protector. We face all kinds of scary situations in life, right? The world is so dark and so evil that there's times that we're in danger. We don't even realize it, right? Just watch the news. The bad guys don't always lurk in the shadows now, so they'll walk right up to you in daylight. We're not promise as Christians that we're going to live lives free from attack either. But we are promised that we won't be alone in this journey. In the same chapter of John, chapter 10 that we read from earlier, John 10:28 says, well, Jesus says his sheep will have eternal life and nothing can snatch them out of his hand. Jesus said that. Nothing can snatch us out of his hand. Romans 8 tells us nothing can separate us from the love of God. John 16 tells us in this world we will have trouble, but take heart, be of courage, I have overcome the world. Now, I'm not just trying to throw Bible verses at you this morning, but there's so much fear in the world right now that I think it's good for us to be reminded of what the Bible tells us, the truths that we find in God's Word. Matthew 10:28 tells us, don't fear those who kill the body, but can't kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. See, people often live life as if avoiding pain and suffering at any cost in this life is what matters. But the Bible tells us that eternal life with God is going to be completely absent of pain and suffering. And that's what should really matter to us. Our eternal life with him. All right. The shepherd provides, guides, and protects. And because of that, we have confidence in this life and we have assurance in the next life. So number four, if you're writing down sermon points, keeping an outline, the shepherd gives us confidence in this life. Verse 6 of Psalm 23 tells us, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, David had experienced the paths of righteousness, and he had experienced the valley of the shadow of death. But the shepherd was always with him, no matter where he was, providing and guiding and protecting. And because of the shepherd's presence, David gained confidence that he could face anything that life threw at him. I love the imagery of this psalm, right? The shepherd goes before us, leading the way, and mercy and goodness follow behind us. Right? So, as Christians, we're in pretty good company. We got a pretty good entourage. We got the shepherd, and we got mercy and goodness coming behind us. David writes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He doesn't say, hopefully they'll follow me. He doesn't say, maybe they'll follow me. He says, surely. David had confidence he was going to be okay no matter what life brought his way, because he had experienced the faithfulness of God. He had experienced the faithfulness of the Good Shepherd time and time again. Now I want to ask you this morning, do you have that confidence? Do you know that no matter what happens, you're going to be okay? Because the Good Shepherd has promised to never leave or forsake you. I hope you have that confidence today. If you don't, all you got to do is call out to God, ask Him to give you that confidence, and He'll do it. He wants us to have peace, knowing that He is with us. He's in control. He is our shepherd. He wants us to have confidence. All right, so the shepherd gives us confidence in this life. Number five, the shepherd gives us assurance in the next life. The shepherd gives us assurance in the next life. The last part of verse 6 tells us, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David had the assurance that no matter what happened to him, he knew his eternity was set in stone because of the shepherd. Now, David was far from perfect. We've talked about that many times before. He had many faults. But in this psalm, Psalm 23, he communicates the proper perspective that we should all have when it comes to life, right? We tend to overemphasize this life, and we tend to minimize the importance of the next life. Just a few minutes ago when we were worshiping, we sang Blessed Assurance. Listen to these words. Everybody knows them. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. The closeness that we have to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, it's just a foretaste. It's just a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. To see Jesus face to face, isn't that going to be amazing? That's going to be wonderful to think about what heaven's going to be like. When we get to experience Him now in this life, that's just a foretaste of how incredible that's going to be. But all too often, Christians are content with waiting on heaven for that closeness with God. And we don't pursue holiness. We don't pursue that closeness with our Savior that we can experience now in this life. But if we really believe heaven's going to be amazing, if we really believe that being in the full, uninterrupted presence of God is going to be amazing, wouldn't we want that now if we can experience it? Why would we want to wait until heaven if we could experience God's presence now? That's why He tells us to pursue holiness. Not because He's trying to get us to follow the rules, be good rule followers. Not because He's trying to get us to check off boxes. Because He knows that if we'll pursue holiness, we'll get Him. We'll get His presence. That's what we need. That's what we're lacking. That's every desire that we have that we We go out and we try to fulfill those desires in a million different ways. Ultimately, what it comes back to is we were created to know our Lord. And until we know Him, until we're pursuing holiness, we're going to feel that emptiness. We're going to feel that void. Because it's a hole, it's an emptiness that only He can fill. If we really believe that heaven is going to be as awesome as we sing about, as awesome as we read about, then we should be seeking Him with all that we've got for as long as we've got, so we can experience as much of Him as possible, so we can experience a little bit of heaven on earth right here and right now. We ought to be excited to praise His name. We ought to be excited to read His word, and we ought to be fired up to tell somebody else about what Jesus has done in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Now, earlier we were talking about Jesus protecting us in the valley of the shadow of death. And I was thinking this week, I was thinking about how the psalm says that He will never want for anything, and yet the reality is that there are hungry people all over the world. There are people that are starving because they don't have enough to eat, right? I was thinking about how it says goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and yet the reality is Christians still get attacked and killed. We still die in car wrecks. We still get diseases that we're not able to overcome. And I was thinking about that, that seeming contradiction there. And I came across an article by a pastor named Tim Challies. He said something that helped to put it into perspective for me, so I wanted to share it with y'all. Listen to this. He says, "Why would a good shepherd lead his sheep into a dark and dangerous valley? There's only one answer I can think of, only one that makes sense. The shepherd is leading his sheep through the dark valley because the sheep need to get to some place better than the place that they've already been. There's no reason to go through a dark valley unless there's something better on the other side of it." You see, church, that's why Christians don't have to fear even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's why the Christian doesn't have to mourn as one who has no hope. Right? We have the hope of heaven. God has a much better place in store for us than this world right here. No matter what dark valley you've walked through before, and no matter what dark valley lies ahead of you in the years ahead, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus, you can rest in the assurance, the blessed assurance, that God is preparing a place for you to spend eternity in His presence with Him. But if you're not a born-again believer, then you don't have that assurance. I know that's blunt, but I promise I say it in love, and I say it because I want to be obedient to the Scripture. The Bible tells us we must be born again. John 3:3 says, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Salvation's available for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Jesus died so all, y'all say all. Jesus died so all can come to repentance. If you can confess that you're a sinner and you repent of that sin and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God that died on the cross to give all of us eternal life, you'll be saved. You'll be made a part of the family of God, and you can rest in the assurance that, just like David, you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Blessed assurance that comes with knowing the Good Shepherd, the Lord, as our shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your word. Pray, God, that You just help us to hear You, to hide Your word in our hearts. God, if there's anybody here that's never given their heart and their life to You, I pray that today will be the day that they make the decision to follow You for the rest of their days, God. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us not to forget your word when we leave out of here, but that we'll dwell on it, meditate on it, return to it, and we'll consider how you're our good shepherd that's with us, whether we're walking through those good times or whether we're walking through those worst of times. And everything in between, God, you're always with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do what only you can do, Lord. Draw those that are far from God near to him. God, be with us today. Answer prayers, God. Heal the sick. God, be glorified, not just in our time together in here, but in the lives that we lead, when we leave here, God. We love you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you would, stand to your feet. We're going to have our response time as we always do. And so anything that you might want to do in response to God's word, you can do that at this time. If you need somebody to pray with you, I can pray with you now. I'd be glad to pray with you after the service. If you want to ask a question about joining the church or being baptized, anything that you want to do, you can do that at this time. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you got questions about that, or you want, if you just prayed to receive him and you want to let somebody know that, I'd love to hear about it and celebrate with you. So, whatever God's called you to do, you just respond to him. And we're going to sing, Brother Robert.
Y'all have a great afternoon.